At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me, my colleague and co-host and friend. Ukraine, North Korea, both require a lot of attention from Bruce Bechtel. He teaches at Angelo State University, a professor, but most importantly, he's the author most recently of Rogue Allies, the strategic partnership between Iran and North Korea. And before that, he was the author of a book about North Korea spreading its destruction throughout the developing world, Africa, the Middle East, everywhere they can make a buck. But we've gotten to the point now where North Korea is talking directly to Moscow and Beijing about what it wants. And there is a report, most recently, that what North Korea wants is nuclear power technology for a submarine fleet. Bruce, a very good day to you. They've upped their game, Bruce. They're going for boomers. What do we know about that technology they're going to get from Russia? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Gordon. Well, we know that Russian subs don't have the technology that our submarines have to keep themselves quiet, which is very important for the North Koreans. They've been operating those old Romeo-class submarines, which are very loud and don't have a particularly long range. They have one sub that is sort of, kind of, a copy of the old Soviet Gulf-class submarine, which has a much longer range and could potentially get out to Hawaii, that actually shoots one SLBM, or submarine launched ballistic missile, as we've talked about before. So this technology, though it's not as modern as what the U.S. has, because obviously the Russians aren't there yet, it will certainly be a big boost to their submarines being able to get away from their coastline without us detecting them. That's the biggest deal about that, because that means they have a better chance at striking someplace like Hawaii or Guam without us being able to detect them leaving the Korean coastline. And if I may add something else, John, this is just one more thing that the Russians are doing to help the North Koreans out, because this is basically the way that the Russians are paying their way for all this stuff that North Korea has been proliferating to them since 2023. And if I may review briefly, that has been 20,000 containers of munitions, 9 million rounds of mixed artillery and multiple rocket launcher ammunition, and roughly one-third of all ballistic missiles that the Russians have fired in that war. According to the Korean Institute for Defense Analysis, the Russians have paid, mostly in barter, $20 billion in American dollars to the North Koreans for that trade. And just in 2024, January 1 to mid-December, there were 49 shipments, 20,000 containers that went from North Korea to Russia. So this is payment in lieu of cash, which the Russians don't have a lot of. And it's really, really helping North Korea bring its military into the 21st century.
Gordon, you have a question for Bruce.
Bruce, in addition to this submarine technology, do we know what else the technology that the Russians have supplied to North Korea in this barter arrangement?
Well, so far what we've seen, you know, and obviously they're doing stuff that we haven't seen yet, I'm sure. So far we've seen improvements to their ballistic missile technology. We've seen, including, and this is very important, including targeting capabilities, Gordon, because you know that's always been a problem with North Korean missiles, is their accuracy. So that's very important. We've seen advances in drone technology. I'm sure you saw in the press that North Korea recently tested in front of Kim Jong-un a bunch of what they call suicide drones. I believe what those drones are, as you've heard of, the Shahed drones that the Russians bought from the Iranians. Well, the Russians started manufacturing, with Iranian help, started manufacturing those drones in Russia. Then they offered those drones as payment to the North Koreans. The North Koreans asked them to help them build a factory in North Korea. So now we're seeing North Korean copies of Russian drones, which are copies of Iranian drones. They're also reportedly the North Koreans trying to get next generation fighter aircraft and vast improvements to their surface Navy, which, as you know, is probably about 40 years behind the South Korean Navy. So a lot of stuff, and we're likely to see a lot more because it's much easier for Russia to pay that way and with oil than it is for them to pay cash, which they are obviously very short of.
Bruce, what's your information of the North Korean naval forces? Are they considerable? Are they well trained? They seem almost secondary to the history of North Korea fighting on the land.
Well, very much so. And frankly, the South Korean naval forces are that way, too. But they are very modern now, probably the most modern navy in Asia, except for Japan. But the North Korean naval forces, up until very recently, have been really 1950s and 60s old Soviet copycats. I mean, they still got Komar class guided missile patrol boats with six missiles on them where you have to sail straight toward your target for a full minute before that missile will take off. That's a good way to get shot out of the water. But their stuff has been very old. Well, we've seen they're building two destroyers, brand new destroyers, which is a big deal for them. One of them had issues just getting out of port. They'll probably fix that. They've also built a couple of brand new submarines. One of them, we saw them do all kinds of SLBM tests with since about 2018. You and I and Gordon have talked about that. And they're building a much bigger one. And now they're getting this nuclear-powered submarine, which is a big deal. I mean, most countries do not possess nuclear-powered submarines. So they're getting there, but they are still woefully incapable of going in a force-on-force conflict with South Korean naval forces. They're just not there, and they need to do a lot of work before they can get there.
Gordon, you have a question for Bruce.
Bruce, obviously the North Koreans are behind in technology by decades, but can they overwhelm their adversaries just by sheer numbers?
Not with naval forces. With ground forces, they can. They just don't have enough ships. What they are good at, as you and John know, is asymmetric type stuff, like the sinking of the Chonan. Remember that in 2010? That was actually outlined in my third book. I had a whole chapter on that. They're very good at asymmetric stuff, like being able to sneak troops in at night with stealth boats and having submarines that can get around the high technology that South Korea has, and they've proven it. But as I said, when we're talking force on force, going against the South Korea head to head, they have some challenges. They have real challenges. Now, the big question is, how much are they going to get from the Russians to bring themselves up to snuff? And right now, you know, you just brought up a very good example of that. That's a big deal. A nuclear-powered submarine, that gets them right on par, at least in submarine warfare, with what the ROKs have, the South Koreans, right now.
And Bruce, this intelligence is good. You trust it? It's probably the CIA of the South, yes? Is that where we get this stuff from?
You're talking about the National Intelligence Service?
Yes.
Yeah, in fact, the National Intelligence Service used to be called KCIA.
Oh.
And interesting point, Kim Dae-jung changed it to NIS, National Intelligence Service, when he was president, because he thought it sounded too much like the CIA. So, yes, this is the CIA of South Korea.
And do you trust it? Because they have motives.
I do trust it. And I think, and if you're talking about military stuff, NIS gets a lot of their data and their analysis from KDIA anyway, which is, of course, the equivalent of our own DIA, which does the best military intelligence for the United States, same way in South Korea. So I trust this report. I think that this is exactly the kind of thing we would expect to see South Korea do. We can also expect them to see, them go after next generation aircraft, you know, because the last aircraft, new aircraft they had was way back in 1989. They got MiG-29s. Nothing new since then. So we'll probably see that. We're going to see more naval type forces that'll be upgraded, and we're probably going to see some electronic warfare type stuff as well, along with missiles, of course.
Bruce, a detail here I want to check with Gordon. Gordon, has Beijing said anything about this? Because I can recall 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Washington would appeal directly to Beijing to, in some fashion, control the predatory nature of the regime in Pyongyang. Is Beijing saying anything about this transfer of nuclear power technology?
They're saying nothing that I've seen, John. And that's interesting because I think that they may have had a hand in arranging this deal between North Korea and Russia, because the arrangement certainly advances important Chinese foreign policy goals.
We're speaking with Bruce Bechtel, a professor at Angelo State University, in addition to the author of several books about North Korea's ever more capable military and its threat not only to the United States and our allies, but to its allies, if that's what Beijing and Moscow are. When we come back, we're going to talk about the recent performance of the North Korean troops in Ukraine and where they are now.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.